welcome to another episode of the Mud & Mile podcast. Today it is freezing and we are strolling with a lady who has proved anything is possible if you put your mind to it. In 2019, she entered the London Marathon casually as a recreational runner. Fast forward to 2022, she's representing England, and in the space of 3 years, shaves a casual 2 hours off her time. Sounds unbelievable, right? Well, it is. Anya Culling, welcome to the Mud & Mile podcast.
Thank you for having me. I don't know how you do that in front of people. Whenever I've tried to intro anyone, I have to do it away from them because I get so nervous.
I quite enjoy doing people's intros because I'm like, I'm bigging you up.
Yeah.
That's my self factor. I mean, not that you really need bigging up because your story is so ridiculous. I actually can't quite fathom how it's even possible.
Yeah, I think I still don't believe it most days. I do actually have, this is, we're diving in here deep, but like I still get like major imposter syndrome. Like I don't even see myself as a runner some days, and then I have to like really think back to what I've done and like put it all into perspective to make me believe that that was me and I can do it again.
Like a lot of people can connect to running a marathon. For me, I see a marathon as like an Olympics for all.
Yeah.
It gives you that feeling of a mass participation event. They're coming together, and then obviously there is that huge sense of achievement. But take me back to 2019.
Yeah.
Your first ever marathon.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
No. So back in 2019, I basically decided to run that marathon. Yeah, not because I was much of a runner. I'd done team sports, but I'd moved to London, got pretty unhealthy, loved partying far too much, and I had a few health difficulties. Long story short, I was on steroids. I put on a lot of weight, and I think I really like lost my spark and lost my confidence. And I signed up to that marathon to kind of just prove to myself of like how capable I am. And it definitely did that. Like I finished that marathon feeling amazing, but it was the hardest day of my life. And I definitely didn't then start running after that because I genuinely hated so much of it. It was so hard. I started back at like pretty like midday is the time I started.
No way.
Whereas like the last few times I've run London Marathon, I'm way finished before then, which is crazy. And I had like the giant rhinoceroses overtaking me. But I just remember finishing, I mean, so proud of myself. And I think that is the same feeling that I still get like now. That's what you say, like a mass participation event, what marathons are, like the Olympics for everybody.
And it's kind of crazy because no matter what your time, obviously the experience during the actual run itself is very different for everyone. But regardless of how painful or shall we say traumatic sometimes for some people for the first time, the minute you finish that line, you almost forget about the process and the pain and you just revel in the success of completing it.
Massively. I think genuinely that first marathon changed my life. Like it changed my whole perspective on everything and my self-worth almost. Like the confidence it gave me to like pursue so many other things with so much more confidence in my life. Like, yeah, my life has been different since.
So 2019, what was your time?
4 hours, 34 minutes.
Okay, fast forward. Talk to me about that space. And how you managed to shave 2 hours off your time. Was that the goal? Did you suddenly go, I'm going to be a pro runner, leave everything behind?
No, none of my family ran. I didn't know any marathon runners. I didn't know that was like a profession. I probably had no idea that even were elites in that first marathon. We got thrown into lockdown. I know that was a really tough time for so many people, but yeah, I was a bit lost, lost my spark, lost so much confidence. And I was like, I remember how good I felt at the end of that 2019 marathon. So I just wanted to run. Like, I just picked up running again. I didn't know how far I was running. I didn't have carbon-plated shoes. I didn't have a watch. I was just running around this field and I was like basing my improvement on how many extra laps of the field I could do. Yeah, we were allowed that 1 hour of exercise a day. I started running with friends in Battersea Park when I was back in London. And then it became such a social sport for me. And I always said I'd never run. I don't know why you'd be a runner. I don't know why you'd do a solo sport. That's not for me. And then I realized that running is a team sport and the people you're running with, you're not actually running against and you're all just working together. And I just fell in love with it. I became obsessed.
It's crazy because a lot of people don't like running. And a lot of people are like, yeah, but why would you do that? Why would you run a marathon? Why would you put your body through that pain? What is your why now?
So I think my why has changed. At the time, it was like just mental health, making me feel good, proving to me that I could do things that I didn't think I could do. Then it all got a bit more competitive. And then I think it's shit for me to like admit now, but it probably became a bit more ego driven. And I wanted to be the best. And I wanted people to be like, wow, that's that fast runner. Or I wanted to look a certain way. I wanted to look like the athletes. And now, thankfully, we're back at the point where I think my purpose for running now is it makes every other part of my life so much better. Like, it sets me up. I work better. I'm more confident. I'm more energized. Like, every part of my life is better now because of running. And so when people are like, do you want to make the Olympics kind of thing? Yeah, maybe one day. But right now, no, because I'd have to give up on every other part of my life, really, because you just have to go all in. The reason I'm running now is so that all the other parts of my life are better than they were before. The running is the foundations for everything else. If that makes sense.
It's crazy how running can so simply install so much purpose and give you a foundation for all those other bits. And I can really connect with that, going from a professional athlete to freelance in the media space. What I find, I don't know if you have this experience with now being in the freelance space, but some days you are so, so busy and you're juggling multiple strands and you're wearing different hats and different jobs. And then you might have 3 days of nothing. And that for me is where I've really connect with you on the purpose of running. Because, for example, Monday, I had nothing on. I had an admin day. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to go out for a little run and see what happens.
Yeah.
That little run, because I felt good and put no pressure on myself, became 9 miles. And that sense of purpose and achievement from having no constraints on time, it fulfilled me solely going into the week.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an extreme example.
No.
It could be 2 miles and it still gives me personally that same sense of, gratefulness, you know?
That is the thing. I think I will always run as long as it makes me happy. And every day when I don't want to run, I just think, I know it's cliche and everyone says it, but like, we really do get to do this. And I'm so grateful that my body can do it. And yeah, I used to run to prove myself that I could do things I never thought I could. And now I'm like, I'm so grateful I can do that. And like, let's do it all again kind of thing. Like, I definitely use my old self as motivation. But yeah, sorry, that was a bit of a tangent. But my week is set up so much better when I run. So my head is so much clearer.
What does your day-to-day routine look like now versus 2019? You're in the corporate world, normal job. I mean, you've quite literally flipped your life on its head at quite a late stage in your life to become an athlete.
It's
not the norm. Most people start when they're 12 or younger even.
Yeah, no one pushed me into running when I was a child. I like walked the 400 meters at sports day. Like, I don't think anyone would have ever seen this for me. Back then I was drinking too much. I was partying too much.
Relatable to many.
Yeah,
not an abnormal thing to do.
I just really wanted to work in the office. I wanted an office job so much. I was loving working in London.
Did you wear the stilettos, the pinstripe suit?
No, I wish I did. I wasn't quite that kind of office. I was, like doing media and advertising. And then I transitioned into sports advertising. So I think at this point I was like, oh, I could see my life going that way. And then it was taking the jump and be like, actually, instead of being behind the camera filming and producing for sports adverts, I want to be in front of the camera and do my own marketing of myself.
That is a wild, wild transition. When you had that opportunity to run for Team England, did you question that decision at all? It's quite a big leap to leave the corporate world, to go into the running world, to become an athlete and make money through brand deals. How do you survive? Because I think a lot of people would be interested in that.
There actually isn't that much money in running compared to a lot of sports, which makes it really hard. And there's a lot of talk at the moment about how influencer athletes, which I probably would class myself as, are like taking the money from the professional full-time athletes. But obviously there's an argument for both there, but ultimately I think if you want to benefit commercially, you need to commercialize yourself. So I also knew that I'd need brands to work with to make it sustainable, because you don't get paid when you represent England or anything like that.
I can also align with that. Team GB, you don't get paid to go to the Olympics, for example.
No. Some countries, like, they make the athletes pay to get to the Olympics as well, which is crazy. And in running, like Australia, some of my friends have to pay to get to the Olympics, which is mental, a different note. So I had Lululemon reach out and said they wanted to sponsor me, which was crazy at the time because I had like 30,000 followers on Instagram. So I still work with them now, and I'm so grateful for them because I feel like they saw my potential before I did. But that was the final thing that meant, okay, I can quit my job now. And like, I've got just about enough money to make this work. And I was like, if it's only for a year, it's only for a year. But I was riding such a high from every single part of my running journey, just being on this upwards trajectory. I genuinely felt so unstoppable. So I think I just dived straight in. I was like, if not now, then when? And just quit my job.
What would you say to someone that has a passion and they're chasing their dreams, but they're not sure whether to follow it?
Obviously, I would say go for it. I think I'm in a very fortunate position where I felt like I had the support to be able to do that. But I also think life is so short, and that scares me a lot. And you've got to live a fulfilling life. But like, my parents have absolutely no idea what I do. And I think our generation, there are so many different ways of making an income now that they didn't have that privilege of. And so I think we're learning more ways. You've just got to dive in, trust the process. I do honestly think that if it's meant to be, it will be. And, you know, nothing's permanent. You can get another job.
Yeah.
It's scary, though. It's scary.
It's so, so true. Do you find that at all frustrating that, say, maybe your parents don't quite understand the dynamics of how it works?
Yeah, they don't understand how it works commercially. They don't understand how I make money, but they are just the most supportive parents ever. Like, they have been to every single race that I've ever done.
Amazing.
Yeah, like, I love my mum so much, but I'm like, I'm 26 now. You can't just assume that I'm going to be staying in your hotel room. Like, she just turns up at like races abroad, and I'm like, I didn't actually know you were coming, but I just have to assume she's part of like the gang that follows now.
She's a major part of the support group.
Yeah. My dad now runs, actually my brother now runs, they all do.
So the positive influence you've had even on your family is...
Yeah. It scares me a bit that when people say, oh, you've inspired me, or you're my influence, I actually don't know how to reply to those messages because I get so nervous. Almost like I don't feel like I deserve that.
Is that the imposter syndrome stepping in there?
I think so. There's always a part of me, like, I was on the elite start line for London last year, and I kept saying, like, I can't believe I'm standing with these elites, like, I can't believe I'm with these women. And I just have to keep telling myself, like, no, I am one of these women, like, I am one of these elites.
You are,
like,
you're elite.
I got myself there. I just think because I haven't gone the most conventional route, and my reasons for running now are just to make me happy, and it really makes me happy, and I smile all the time, and I see so many like professionals, and they're actually like hating what they're doing, or like so many of my friends that are at the top of their running game. It just sounds like their training makes them really miserable, and I just never ever want it to be like that for me.
How do you keep it fresh and exciting? Because a lot of people in sport, in training, day to day, just for life,
yeah,
to be fit for life, find it mundane and boring. So how do you keep it moving forward positively so you are finding that enjoyment in it?
Yeah, it is really important to keep positive. I'm such a believer, like, when it gets tough in a marathon, if I smile and gee up the crowd, that energy is contagious, and what I give them,
go
they
on,
give
what's
me like
your
10
G up?
Times.
What's your G up?
No, I remember like going over the Tower Bridge, and I was like screaming and like waving my arms around.
How do you have the energy when you're going full board?
I don't know. I had to do it like to get the energy back, and my coach was like, "Calm down." He was like, "Relax." He was like, "Stop wasting your energy." And I was like, "But I genuinely was loving it." I think every marathon I do now, I've gone off tangent again, but every marathon I do now, I'm so grateful. I just want to enjoy that race because, well, when I was representing England, we had a full English female team and we had reserves. And basically the whole team got injured, including the reserves.
No way.
And in the end, only two English girls, me and a girl called Philippa Bowden, ended up racing. And we were just speaking on the like warm-up area before. We just got to enjoy this. It's such a privilege to get to that start line when you're training for a marathon this hard. So now my perspective at every race is like, you just got to enjoy this icing on the top of the cake now.
What would you say to someone that's training for their first marathon? Because more often than not, it seems as though people do tend to overtrain
yeah.
and get hurt before. I once, in a half marathon, did something to a metatarsal in my foot a month before the New York marathon.
I'm sorry.
And at the same time, my mum literally did exactly the same thing. So we turned up to New York and we hadn't run for like 4 or 5 weeks. And that's hard to manage.
There's a lot of comparison at the moment in running. I think I'm like in this little pond of people where it's just an echo chamber of everyone showing their best parts on Strava, on social media. And I'm not doing enough. They're doing more. They're doing more.
Yeah.
But it's not even like a pond. It's like this tiny, tiny puddle on the floor of people. And if you actually like think the general population, most of them have never run a marathon. Like most of them don't run 5Ks.
True.
Like you don't need to compare yourself. You don't need to keep doing more and more and more. You've got to find what works for you. Keeping it fresh, keeping it enjoyable.
And how do you keep it fresh?
Yeah. I'm not afraid to take rest days. Like I'm really not. When I got my last coach, that was one of his main questions. He was like, what do you think of rest days? And basically he wasn't going to coach me if I basically was too addicted to running. Like he wanted to make sure I had a regular menstrual cycle because he was like, you won't absorb the training if you don't. If you don't take rest days, you won't absorb my training. It was such a big part. So I'm not afraid to do that. I switch it up. I do a lot of swimming. I do a lot of cycling and running with friends. It makes it so much more enjoyable and just going for coffees and brunch after and all of that.
It's amazing how it really has become such a social sport. All of the run clubs, they're saying now the run club is the new version of the club.
Yeah.
It's where people are meeting.
Oh my God, yeah. 100%. Yeah, yeah. No, it's very cool. Everybody has a run club now. Yeah, there's a reason for it because I think everybody feels good doing it. I do think maybe the next craze is in social media is people saying, turns out I don't actually love running, because I don't think you have to love running. Maybe like, oh, turns out I don't love running, but I love not going out all the time. I love not being hungover. I love the social aspect. I love going for brunch. I love being active. I love being outdoors. And that's totally fine.
It's everything else that comes along with that community, right? It's such a positive space. On a recreational level, you mentioned mum has started running.
Yeah.
Would you ever run with your mum? Can you run slow? Does that exist?
No, of course. Running with my mum is tricky because we're just so alike. We just argue so much. We like doing driving lessons again together, like me telling her when to put the handbrake on and go faster. I love running at any speed. Like I get people being like, I'd love to invite you to my run club, but you know, we'll be too slow for you. But running is still such a social sport for me. I don't care what speed I run. Like my sessions, therefore nailing down the pace, being really intentional. My easy recovery runs, like they're just social. They're just what I love about the sport. So
going for a little
I can do that with anyone. Yeah, any speed.
Because we've got this sort of annual tradition, which is forming now. So I think I've done it 4 times with my mum, the London Landmarks, which is in April.
Yeah.
And last year, Gabby Logan and her daughter joined us.
Oh.
So maybe you should join with your mum and we can have a mum and daughter runoff.
Well, she did her first 10K this year. I don't know if she'll do a half marathon, maybe one day.
It's fine, you can hold her hand and put her around.
Yeah, she's so funny. Like I've done like races and things. Oh, there's so many stories. Like I've asked her to bring me water at a certain point in a marathon before. And in her head, she thinks she's been so helpful. Like she's like, Anya's gonna be so thirsty. And I remember coming around a corner and she was there with like a 2-litre bottle of water.
Oh, no.
And I was like, mum, I can't pick that up. What am I meant to do with that? And that was so funny. And then that's always been called Watergate. And then when I was representing England, basically the elites have drinks bottles, which they put carb mixture in, which are the same as a gel, but liquid. And you have to mix that with water and then hand it in the night before. I had a certain time window I had to do that in and I needed water. So I sent my dad out to go get me some bottled water. Long story short, it has a certain calcium level and like tap water is the wrong level basically. And then my dad came back with San Pellegrino because he was like, I know how much you love sparkling water. And I was like, Dad, I can't be drinking like carb drink San Pellegrino midway through a marathon.
Oh my God, that would be
and
horrendous.
The whole England team like watched him do this and I was like, I can't believe you're embarrassing me like this. But they mean so well. They're just they're very
not
cute
the
parents.
One. Have you enjoyed traveling for running? Because that must add a different dynamic to it.
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah, I hadn't left Europe until last year.
Wow.
Which is crazy. And I'm so lucky, but I've been like all over the world now. Like I did a crazy relay from LA to Vegas early last year. I think that was it was the first time I've ever been to America or anything like that.
That
and I was
actually sounds so ridiculous. LA to Vegas.
Yeah, it was a...
So you're running through... Is that the Mojave Desert?
Yes, yeah. Wow. It was mental. And I was like, my eyes had been opened to like, I was such a little Norfolk country bumpkin. London was a big move for me. And then, yeah, I was doing that. So that was a team, really. We had a team of six girls. And we did that all self-sufficient in
a
little camper van.
That's like desolate space, no?
It was actually mental. It was really dangerous, actually. You could hear wolves or like the people that were quite dangerous people that like were getting messages being like, change your route, like avoid.
No way.
And I was like, oh, we're going to die. But it was fine.
For snowboarding, we've driven that route quite a few times. Mm. Or not that specifically, but up to Mammoth Mountain. And yeah, there's the... Aeroplane graveyard.
Yeah.
Did you come anywhere near that?
I feel like that was the kind of bit where we were at. I don't know if we saw that, but it's where like all the Netflix documentaries are. Whoa. Bodies going missing and like murder things. And I was like, I can't believe we're running through this in the middle of the night.
Anya, we are on the Monday Mile Walk and Talk podcast. So we like to ask all of our guests what their relationship is like with Monday. Do you like a Monday?
I love a Monday. Yeah. Well, actually, I do. But Monday's more of my like, my rest day because I always do a really intense weekend of training.
Is that why you like a Monday? Because you're kicking back and chilling while everyone else is trotting into the office?
I like being productive. And a Monday is like a fresh slate for me to like, yeah, achieve things that week. Wow. Again, I never thought I could. So yeah, I love a Monday.
Unreal. And if you were to leave our listeners with a life motto or quote, what would you say?
As we've spoken so much about like purpose, I think what you do is only as good as why you do it.
Whoa, fire! Anya Fallon, thank you so much for joining me on this absolutely freezing Monday morning. You really are a true source of inspiration and just proof that you can do anything that you put your mind to. Monday Mile listeners, it is a wrap. You know what to do. Do make sure you are subscribed to the audio. It drops every single Monday morning at 12 a.m. for the early risers. Have an absolutely wicked week.